T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
This hour on the Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Mac at Cottage, Shep in for today. Spiegs will be in tomorrow and the next day. Rich Campbell joins us in an hour. Appreciate Alex DeBrinket for coming on the show.
Should we be worried about Mac? Have you gotten a picture yet of a big fish?
No.
I have not.
Apparently it's still great even if you don't boat a muskie.
I thought that was the whole mission of the trip, was to boat a muskie during bye week at Cottage.
I thought so, too.
And send kid to university.
He still has time. You just got there.
I know.
It's easy to call it tough, right? Like, from my end, I'm like, oh, you don't boat a fish, it was a failure. That's how I would look at fishing. It's fairly binary. You either catch the fish or you don't catch the fish.
It's like the NBA or NFL's looked at. It's a thumbs up or thumbs down league. You ready? Are you available? Unavailable.
Yeah, that's
You're not. You didn't catch a fish? Failure.
That's how I would think. But he says it's not that way, and plenty of other fishermen agree with him. So
you go to the Yoda school of fishing, of like do or do not. There is no try.
I don't go to any school of fishing.
Not right. Enjoyable if you don't catch fish.
I would think that it would be kind of frustrating if you didn't catch
a fish. It would be a long ride to not catch a fish, wouldn't it?
That's how I would feel.
I just, what was it, 13 hours, 14 hours is how long the ride is for
him?
Yeah,
something like that.
Seems like a lot of time in his Ford F-150.
Which he likes.
Exactly.
Right.
Windshield time. Different strokes, different folks.
A lot of windshield time for coming home empty-handed. I know that he doesn't keep the fish anyway. It's more the thrill, the rush of the pursuit. But it just feels
it's
like
chase more than the catch.
It just feels like it's a long damn ride to not catch a fish.
Me too. I agree. Different strokes, different folks, though. Man, I don't relate to it, but when he was telling us that story about how it was still a great time, even though he didn't catch any muskies, there were hundreds of people texting in being like, yeah, of course. Man in nature, man in peace, man on the water. It's like, yeah, all right, good.
Man on the water.
Mac is here in spirit, turning anything into a parody song. Did you see the report or rumor that the Bears had been one of the teams that called on Eli Manning? Did you see this?
I saw one of the blogs tweet about it, and I didn't actually look and see how serious the Bears had pursued an Eli Manning or kicked the tires on Eli Manning, but I saw that there was a link.
There wasn't anything super serious. It was just the idea that 4 or 5 teams had called to gauge interest in Eli Manning and that the Bears were one of them, but Eli Manning has a full no-trade clause.
And a nude trade clause, for that matter.
Nude, no. He's got a no-trade clause. And he just, I assume would turn it down. And the report seemed to indicate that none of the calls went anywhere, Bears or otherwise. I'm just a little surprised.
That the Bears were even called. Enough interested to see what the cost would be.
That they even called.
Well, what would it tell you? Would it imply anything on the health of Mitch Trubisky?
Well, no, because they released Tyler Bray.
Okay. Yeah, you're right about that.
They brought back Bradley Sowell, and Tyler Bray got
his weekly promotion, demotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut him, re-sign him, rinse, repeat all season long.
Yeah, so I would think that if Tyler Bray is no longer on the team, then that means that they're feeling pretty good about Mitch Trubisky after the bye week, right?
Yeah,
that seems logical.
I would go with that, yes.
But there's no report on when the call happened, so it might have happened 2 days after Mitch went down. It might have happened the day after the Raiders game and Chase Daniel looked awful. I don't know, but I was surprised that they even made the call, and I guess we don't know that they did, but I'm surprised that the thought was out there.
Yeah, I'm not buying that they made a call. The original tweet came from Dan Saleo. He's currently a former radio host and a former defensive tackle that was drafted in 87. He said, Giants, I'm in misspelled have, H-V-E, taking calls for hashtag Eli Manning from Bears, Vikings, Steelers, Bills, Jags. Eli has a no-trade clause. I don't understand why mainly the Vikings or Jaguars would make those calls. And even then, Saleo currently isn't in media. He last worked in Phoenix, but then was discontinued after some remarks he made about sexuality and race. So he's definitely a
questionable character witness.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the guy to break this news.
I agree with you. I think that's very well put. That's Sean Anderson, who's filling in for Shep today.
That's why he's the phenom. Well, breaks down the news just like that.
I think it's well put. But just the idea of trying to trade for a quarterback right now for the Bears.
Well, that's absurd. And the other part that's crazy to me is the Bears system and the Giants system. Like, here you go, Eli. You don't have Saquon Barkley to turn around and hand off to here. You have a non-existent offensive line that's not going to protect you. It just, like, Eli Manning, you can have the Hall of Fame debates if you want. Like, I think we're both on the side of no if we had a Hall of Fame vote. Eli Manning being here, whether Mitch Trubisky's out for the year or Mitch Trubisky's back next week when they take on the Saints, it doesn't make the Bears any better. What is Eli Manning? And if you're a believer and, oh, bring the veteran in and teach away, it's not like Eli Manning has been running the system his entire career. It's not been running anything similar to it.
No.
I just don't get what the interest would be whatsoever.
Yeah, so I don't believe that there was, and I assume that Tyler Bray, because I always say you can judge NFL teams by actions over words, mm-hmm. right? So the fact that Tyler Bray gets waived and he'll clear, and then he'll be back on the Bears practice squad, I'm sure, in a matter of days, hours, however long it takes to go through that process. My guess is Tyler Bray goes right back on the Bears practice squad as the third quarterback. He was in Kansas City. They brought him over here. He knows the system. It's kind of funny. He's the exact opposite of Chase Daniel.
Yes.
Like, Chase Daniel is all brain, not a lot of brawn. Tyler Bray is all brawn and
not a lot of brain.
Exactly. He's
big, don't want him thinking too much out there.
He's a big physical guy.
He's the Bears version of Gavin Floyd.
He's big.
Don't let him think.
Big physical guy, raw talent, really strong arm, been in the system long enough, has enough natural arm talent that gets to hang around on an NFL roster. There are worse gigs. But I heard Hub say that he'd rather play Tyler Bray than Chase Daniel if it came to that. No. I would be floored if Matt Nagy made that decision, because Tyler Bray is a decent physical specimen, but not much else. It's complicated to run this offense. Matt Nagy's been spending so much time talking about 201 and elevating it. That is much more up Chase Daniels' alley to just execute a game plan than it is Tyler Bray's. But I fully expect Mitch Trubisky to start against the Saints.
It seems like it's going that way. It feels like it's leaning that way on it based off of all the reports and based kind of off of all the just the what has been out there and the Tyler Bray roster move today, I think, kind of goes alongside with that. Like, Tyler Bray, what have you seen from him that you're supposed to get excited about? Like, Tyler Bray is not like this young, fresh out of college guy. Like, oh yeah, well, I remember watching his tape at, where'd he go, Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Seeing him at Tennessee a couple of years ago, and he really jumped off the screen at you, and he was awesome to watch. No, there's none of that. The guy hasn't thrown a pass in seemingly forever. He's 27, almost 28 years old. Like, it's not like he's this up-and-coming guy that just hasn't been discovered yet. It's just the typical Chicago thing that I was talking to you about yesterday. Is that the most popular player on the Bears, for whatever reason, aside of when they have a megastar like Brian Urlacher or like Khalil Mack, for whatever reason, the backup quarterback just gets all the love all the damn time. And when Mitch Trubisky goes down, all of a sudden we take calls for Tyler Bray to be the Bears' starting quarterback.
You say for whatever reason, like you don't know the reason. That's not unique to Chicago. The reason is because the Bears haven't had a great quarterback.
I understand that.
That's the only reason.
But we've also seen enough backup quarterbacks come in to realize that most backup quarterbacks suck, and you see the difference between...
Yeah, but it's never about...
...starter and, oh, God, there's a guy hanging on for a contract, and you know why he's not getting a gig anywhere else.
Right, but it's never about...
Like, how many Jonathan Quinns and Chad Hutchinsons and Caleb Haneys, and keep naming them, how many do we have to see before you start to realize... Like,
that they're a backup for a reason.
You would think, like, that would catch on at some point. I get that the Bears haven't had elite quarterback forever, but you would think that, like, how many times does this have to be recycled? How many times do you have to see, all right, backup gets his chance, and backup sucks 2 weeks in. Rinse, repeat,
but
continue again.
It's not about the backup. It's about the starter. You know, like, I obviously what you're saying is logical, that if the starter's bad and the backup can't beat the bad starter, then oh my God, the backup must be terrible. Jonathan Quinn, right? Worst NFL quarterbacking any of us have ever seen.
Probably.
Right? Like they're, what you're saying is, of course, logical, but basically it's, if the starter sucks, let's just see anything different. Like it's rooting for different over necessarily rooting for a specific backup quarterback.
I know. I would think like this city has passionate fans. The city has fans that if the Bears are 4-12, it doesn't matter. They're still being watched well into the month of December on a Sunday afternoon because it's the Bears and you only get 16 of those games a year. I would think with these diehard fans that watch it year after year, week after week, year after year, season after season, like you'd catch on that the backup quarterback for the most part's no damn good. And it's I am surprised when it gets to the level of, oh yeah, Tyler Bray. Yeah, he deserves a shot. What do you know about Tyler damn Bray? You don't know a stinking thing about him as a quarterback other than you look it up online, you see that he's 6'6", and oh yeah, he probably sees over the line better than Chase Daniel.
Oh, he definitely does.
Like that's your takeaway. That's what you get excited about.
He's taller and he can throw the ball farther.
Okay.
But trust me, that's not what you want. He's not the guy that you want out there. And to a texter's point, everyone's just trying to find the next Nick Foles, the next lightning in a bottle. That is the exception. It's not the rule. And Chase Daniel beat the Vikings coming in for Mitch Trubisky.
The Bears defense beat the Vikings. And Chase Daniel, to quote, was it Dan Hampton on Jim McMahon 20 or 30 years ago, was the monkey driving the limo. That's what that was.
I agree with you. But Chase Daniel went 500 last year.
1-1.
I know. And now he's 1-1. The goal, listen, any team, when they lose their starting quarterback, the goal for the backup is to just keep you afloat while the starter's out. The goal is 500. The goal is we don't want to have to compromise our game plan. We don't have to overhaul things in a week between games when a guy gets hurt. Can we call the same plays? Can we run the same game plan? Can they handle the same verbiage? And can we try to go on by next man up, business as usual, right? You don't overhaul the offense when the right guard goes down. You don't overhaul the offense when the linebacker goes out, or the defense when the linebacker goes out. The goal of the backup quarterback is to have it be like any other position on the field where you don't want to have to overhaul everything that you're doing for the next guy. I'm telling you, you'd have to simplify things a lot if it was Tyler Bray.
Well, that's, yeah, and then what's your whole selling point of Owen Daniel? Chase Daniel is that, hey, it's a guy that knows the system. He knows the system. Yeah, his arm's nothing special. Yeah, his athletic ability is nothing special by NFL standards for a quarterback, but he knows the system. And that's why when I look and I see Chase Daniel, I don't think, oh my God, he's the better fit for this offense. He's the better fit for the Bears to be successful. It was never the argument that I think that there was to be had. I think that as a result of some of his inabilities, it makes Matt Nagy do things entirely differently than if or when Mitch Trubisky's under center or Mitch Trubisky's at starting quarterback, because it's, okay, well, this is an athletic guy that can do this. He's a guy that can get free and even try to get more creative in play calling because of the athletic ability and what Trubisky's able to do. And I think that because of that and because of the idea of what Trubisky can be, that sometimes it stunts what the head coach, what the play caller for this team is capable of doing. And he tries to get a little too cute and a little too fancy as a result.
Yeah, and I think that when you have young franchise quarterback of the future, second overall pick guy, who your backup is matters, right? And it matters more Monday through Saturday than Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point of this thing has been build up Mitch Trubisky, right? That's what the whole organization has been. Keep Dave Ragone, bring in Mark Helfrich, have Matt Nagy, former quarterback. Surround Chase Daniel, knew what it was like to work with Andy Reid and Sean Payton and Drew Brees and Doug Peterson and all of these guys. Surrounds him with as much institutional quarterback knowledge as you possibly can to build up Mitch Trubisky. Well, so when that happens, your backup's not going to be the guy who's like firing for his job, right? You want the backup to be the backup. Like, he's not really a threat on the field. He's just the guy who is there. He's the coach. He's the player coach. That's what Chase Daniel is. And so people are saying, oh, Texter literally just write it in. Tom Brady was a backup at one point. Yeah, Again,
give me your other example. Tom Brady in 2001.
Nick Foles
in 2015 or whatever year that was that he came back
from
the dead.
Using Gardner Minshew right now. That's the other one. What I'm saying is you're arguing exceptions rather than the rule, and the Bears designed this thing specifically to support Mitch Trubisky. They didn't design it for there to be some flyer option as the backup. Now, Tyler Bray has, in theory, I suppose, more upside because of natural arm talent, but you're trying to win a game right now.
There's a lot of guys that have come into the NFL with natural arm talent, too.
Correct.
They've been first-round picks. They've been seventh-round picks. They're only seventh-round picks and not undrafted because of this arm talent.
Yeah.
There's a hell of a lot more to running an offense and being an NFL quarterback than having arm talent.
Tyler Bray's been around Andy Reid. He's been around now Matt Nagy. He's 27 years old, and he's made an NFL roster once. And in his first NFL snap, he fumbled the ball, and the Broncos took it back and returned it for a touchdown. I don't understand this whole point that, oh, he was, you know, Tom Brady was a backup quarterback. Gardner Minshew was a backup quarterback. Tom Brady and Gardner Minshew were drafted and made the teams that year. Tyler Bray was an undrafted free agent. He's not this guy who's going to be a starting quarterback. It's a ridiculous argument to say that he should be on this team.
It's just backup quarterback love. That's all it is. And it's panic over Mitch Trubisky not being good. This isn't about coddling Mitch Trubisky, which now texters are saying that I'm doing. That's not what it's about. It's about before the year when they were trying to get Mitch to take that next step and take that leap, what was the best way to do it? And it was to have a quarterback behind him who was more brains than brawn, who could help him see it from the player perspective in the meetings, on the practice field, when they're getting reps, when they're going over film and all of that. Chase Daniel is cerebral enough that he is a player coach. It wasn't like when Washington drafted RG3 in the first round and then
Kirk Cousins
in the fourth round because they were worried about RG3 for injury and they wanted to have as many young quarterback prospects as possible. That's not what this is. The Bears were all in on Mitch. Now it looks like they're losing that bet. But I promise you that some of these other backup options that are currently on the roster are not more suited than Mitch Trubisky to win a game. And frankly, they're not more suited than Chase Daniel to win a game if Mitch Trubisky isn't healthy. Because Chase Daniel, again, has won games. He's won games in the NFL over multiple years. He can execute a game plan. Is he good? Absolutely not. But is he better than Tyler Bray in short notice? Of course he is.
On that part that you just mentioned, with them putting all their chips to the table, betting on Mitch Trubisky, and so far coming up empty, I think, is strong. You went to the playoffs last year, but you're obviously disappointed. You're not satisfied with where Trubisky is right now. Do you still buy in? Because the second it happened, we all said it. We all talked about it his entire rookie year. When Mitch Trubisky was drafted, it was Ryan Pace just hitched himself to the Mitch Trubisky wagon. And if Mitch Trubisky's bad, Ryan Pace is going to be out of the job. Because of how this defense has performed that Ryan Pace put together, because of how dominant it has been, because of, I guess there's one offensive free agent that he's hit on in Allen Robinson, because of that, do you still buy into Ryan Pace? If Trubisky's a failure, say Trubisky's not re-signed, and after 4 years or 5 years in the NFL, Mitch Trubisky's no longer a Bear because the Bears aren't interested in keeping him around because they don't think he gives them a chance to win or win big. Do you still think that that falls on Ryan Pace to the extent of it costing Ryan Pace his job?
God, I'm not. It's a complicated question. Does Ryan Pace get a shot at another franchise quarterback if this thing with Mitch fails? We can answer it and get into it coming up on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Rich Campbell joins us at 4 o'clock this hour on The Score, brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall. The Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com. Your question was, because this is going so poorly at quarterback for the Bears, if it all fails with Mitch Trubisky, should Ryan Pace get a shot to select another franchise quarterback? And people on the text line are crushing Ryan Pace for not having more viable backup options, citing Kyle Allen, citing Gardner Minshew.
How many of those realistically are there in the NFL right now? Like, listen, I get it, and it's one guy plays one game well, and all of a sudden it's, oh, is he better than Trubisky? Oh, is he better than insert whatever your city or your team starting quarterback is here? And it turns into a big-time discussion. But it's like there's a ton of conversations that go on and these arguments that go on, and Hub mentioned it yesterday, he mentioned again today when he was on. You're going off of next to no sample size with so many of these people that if you want to go through and you want to look through all of 2018, we can pull up the Tampa game for Mitch Trubisky and be, yep, there's your guy. There's your second overall pick that's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for a long damn time. You want to find your samples or you find your places where these guys were great. They're there for just about every one of them. It's about consistency, and it's just like it's so quick to look at and, all right, this guy played well for a week or two. He's the next great thing, and he's the next Tom Brady. It's like, all right, relax a little bit. Let's see a little bit of a sample. See the league adjust to this guy a little bit, whoever it might be, and not overreact and think that he's the second coming all of a sudden.
I agree with you. I think that Ryan Pace has made a mistake by not drafting more quarterbacks overall.
Well, because that's something he said he was going to do.
I know. I think that was a mistake. I think there's reasons for it, right? You don't want to reach on guys. These GMs stay true to their board.
And because he's given up so much draft capital to bring in stars. And I'm not saying you don't
exactly
make the Mac, but it comes back to cost you.
Exactly. When you trade away draft picks and you move up and you're as aggressive as he is, sometimes you lose out on draft picks. You don't have as much draft capital to spend. And then you feel like, okay, I can't take a flyer on a guy that we hope, frankly, never plays, when I need a inside linebacker who can make the roster for special teams or whatever the case may be. So that's why that's happened. This upcoming draft, Ryan Pace will draft a quarterback. I am convinced of it.
Well, he has to at this point.
I don't think it'll be high, but I will be surprised if he uses one of his two second-round picks on a quarterback. But I believe that he will bring in draft-caliber talent into that quarterback room. I agreed with having Mitch Trubisky's backup be someone who knows this offense, because I know how tough this offense is to run. It's very, very difficult. It took Alex Smith, who's really, really smart, Ace the Wonderlic, it took him 4 years to fully grasp it. And having someone who is well-versed in it as a player, I thought was prudent. You can disagree. Like, reasonable minds can debate that point, but I think a lot of teams would have looked at how Philly did it with Carson Wentz, and they would have said, like, read up about the quarterback incubator and what Doug Peterson tried to do. It's basically exactly what Matt Nagy has tried to do here. Their quarterback's coach, former quarterback, their offensive coordinator, former quarterback, their head coach, former quarterback, like, veteran backup. That's exactly what they did in Philly for Carson Wentz. That's what the Bears tried to replicate here. They're trying to replicate that Philly system.
But even with that Philly system, they brought in a quarterback that didn't really know. I mean, he kind of knew the system for Peterson, but he started games. You don't have a quarterback outside of Mitch Trubisky, at least before this year, that has experience starting an NFL regular season game. And with the whole pay stuff, he's drafted one quarterback.
Well, that's not true. And that's Chase Daniels started NFL games before.
He started
week 17 for the Chiefs when Alex Smith had his appendix out against the Chargers.
By technicalities, Parkins is right.
No, he started four NFL games total now, maybe
whatever
five?
It is. Nick Foles is the example that Sean's trying to use there, that the Phenom's trying to use. And Nick Foles went a couple of years being the guy in Philadelphia.
He had that season where he had 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Then he goes to the Rams. He gets forgotten about, just like the Rams are, while in St. Louis, were entirely forgotten about by the rest of the league. Goes on, and you think his NFL career is over, and all of a sudden he's your Super Bowl MVP.
My gut as of now, and like the reason why your question is so tough to answer is because we don't know how the rest of this year plays out. We don't know how Mitch plays the rest of this year. But like, my gut as of now is that Ryan Pace would survive Mitch being a bust. That's my gut feeling, because 12-win season last year, Matt Nagy, coach of the year, even if you want to say that's because of the defense and Fangio, like, he's changed the culture around here. He hired a guy from a system that is at the cutting edge of the NFL, even though it's clearly not working here so far. I think you could blame that more on personnel than coaching, at least to this point I would. And the Khalil Mack trade and plenty of other moves, like, they're going to give Eddie Jackson a ton of money this year. That's an all-pro safety, best safety for the Bears since Mike Brown that he got in the fourth round.
Right.
Right? I think that there's enough here that I don't expect this season to be a disaster and them to go like 5-11 or something.
Oh God. Can right? you imagine?
I don't see that happening. I think they're too competitive at too many places to be good enough for that it won't turn into an embarrassment. That I will assume, if it fails with Mitch, Ryan Pace gets another shot at it, especially because he signed a contract extension that goes well beyond Mitch Trubisky's contract right now.
Right, and I remember questioning that at the time. The second that was announced, and oh, well, he's got to sign that extension if he's going to bring in a real head coach that he wants. And it's like, well, okay, I get that part of the argument, but it's a guy that his first 3 years were just woeful here as well. And that's why when Trubisky was drafted, because you had so many losses, so many just seasons that felt like they were completely just punted on, the John Fox era of, all right, well, Bears season starting, and here comes another 5-11 or 6-10 is the best that you can kind of hope for, that it just felt like it was, what are you rewarding him for? You're rewarding him because he gets to hire a second head coach, because there was no signs of this success coming. And last year, you take a huge step, you win the NFC North, and that part's great, and that part's dandy. It's just that it hasn't kind of taken that next step from there. It's a team that looks like it's a fringe playoff team right now. I think you're crazy if you think that they're in like a Super Bowl conversation. They got a lot to show and a lot to grow on here, especially offensively as the second half of the year and the post bye week goes on. But he has done a heck of a lot of things right. And it's not just like you look at the Trubisky thing, and that's what he hitched his wagon to. That's what he was following. But I go to your point of this defense. He is the man most responsible. Yes, Vic Fangio was calling the defense, but he was the man most responsible for putting the best defense in the NFL in place, and it's been that way for 2 years now, and it should be for a little while longer, too. And
I also think that Matt Nagy, assuming, again, it doesn't implode, Matt Nagy was in Kansas City when they drafted Mahomes. We don't know the answer to this. I've asked multiple people, reporters, people with both franchises. I can't get a straight answer. But we don't know, if you injected Matt Nagy with truth serum, who he preferred at the time, right? The Chiefs didn't have the ability to draft Mitch. They traded up and drafted Mahomes over Watson. People in Kansas City say that they loved Mahomes so much they would have taken him over Myles Garrett. They would have taken him number one overall. That's their public stance. Whether it's true or not, that's to be debated. But I think Ryan Pace would give Matt Nagy a shot to draft the next quarterback with him and be in on that quarterback evaluation. I assume that that's what they would do. They would side with continuity of GM and coach and say, we got this one wrong. Matt wasn't here when we did it, and now he's going to have a say in drafting the next quarterback. That's my gut feeling on how they would handle it.
Instead of essentially gutting the entire organization, burning down the forest, and trying to regrow it again.
Yeah,
because that's what you do. If you fire the GM, then pretty much whether you keep your head coach or not,
exactly,
it's a ticking time bomb until he's most likely gone. Because the GM's going to want his own head coach, and you're starting from scratch, include the quarterback in there. I tend to think that it's on the side of, yes, that if this Trubisky thing does end horribly, if he is a bust, if he is a flop, if he doesn't show that he is a franchise quarterback in his first NFL contract, where, let's face it, that's where the Bears are built best to win and win big, is in Mitch Trubisky's first couple of years here in the NFL, because if he does find that good problem that you have to play to pay your quarterback, if you have to cough up the dollars and pay him, it's a good problem to have because it means you have one of those quarterbacks that you trust. It also means that money's not going to be there for whether it's an Eddie Jackson or whether it's a Roquan Smith or whoever it might be, one of these young defenders, one of these star young defenders that defensively you aren't going to be able to keep around.
Tony in Calumet City wants to weigh in. What's up, Tony? You're on the Score.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, I just wanted to chime in on the conversation should Pace be given another opportunity to draft a quarterback. And I think you guys hit it right on, spot on. I think he should, based on, you know, the getting Khalil Mack and getting the defense back together, changing the culture from the John Fox era and so forth. But when you look at the quarterbacks that he's brought in here, you know, starting back a few years ago with Mike Glennon, you know, which kind of brought us back to the Jonathan Quinn days, and then Trubisky, although, you know, I don't want to officially call him a bust yet, I can't think of any quarterback over the years who was drafted, let's say top five, who's looked this bad this far and then still turned out to be good, let alone great. So they may have to draft another quarterback next year. And you know, I think Case should keep his job, but I definitely think Nagy should be in those conversations, because I just don't know if this is a strong point, a strong suit for Pace at this point.
Well, I mean, it's listen, I think it's clearly not to this point, and that's obviously, you know, it's not a good spot if your general manager can't evaluate quarterbacks, right? He's like, he can't get quarterbacks or kickers right. He's pretty good at running backs in the fourth and fifth round. He's pretty good at safeties.
Outside of that, well, offensive line too, because that offensive line, whether it was blind faith in guys that he wanted to believe in, like, that offensive line looks atrocious right now. And it was supposed to be, whether it was Harry Hiestand, the great Harry Hiestand coming to town and fixing the offensive line, or the players that were here, that was supposed to be, I don't want to say dominant, I don't want to say like the Cowboys a couple years ago on that level, that was supposed to be a strength, and it is, by and far, it's as big of a weakness as anything on this roster.
But last year it was a strength, and I think you look at what this offensive line has done in the first five games, we can tell Kyle Long just isn't healthy. And I don't think that's on Pace. You know, that's just due to
Kyle Long's, to your point with that, he's also a guy that has won battled injuries throughout his career. And yes, I think Hub put it well yesterday. When Kyle Long's been healthy, there was a window there where he was one of the best guards in the entire NFL. But it's also, it's just like the Cubs thing with Brandon Morrow. If we're going to get on them about you're signing a guy that's always hurt, going into this year and looking at Kyle Long and saying, that's a guy that we have to rely on, is just unrealistic, because if he's shown you anything in that regard, it's that he has an inability to stay healthy.
But with that, you still have Alex Barrs on the practice squad, and they seem to be high on him, and he's a possible, you know, substitute for that him at guard. And then with that, you have Rashad Coward as well on this team, and people seem to be high on him. And then with the other rest of the offensive line, like Charles Leno Jr. and Bobby Massey, it just seems to be mental mistakes and not their actual play. And that's what, you know, guys like Olin, who I trust at least when it comes to O-line play, has been saying. So I don't really think the O-line's that big of a problem. I think it just needs to be tightened up.
Right, but the mental mistakes haven't gone away is kind of the thing.
But that's for the whole team, too. Anthony Miller taking that.
Sure. That was idiotic. Yes.
Penalty. And then taking a penalty on the same kickoff as well. I just think you look at Pace, and I think he deserves to keep his job, but I was thinking about this earlier. He's missed on the quarterback situation, and some people are making the argument that he missed on the head coaching hire as well with Matt Nagy.
It's ridiculous.
I agree, because you look at his record and he's winning, but you know, he was hired to be an offensive guy, and the offense is the part that is flailing. And we could see because of run game, whether it be the offensive line or just his lack of, you know, complex running schemes and his ability to run the ball, and just the lack of ability for them to move the ball in general. Ryan Pace has missed on possibly those two spots.
The reality is, is he's got this season to figure it out. And I don't think there's a scenario where he gets fired in the offseason.
No.
But they're going to drastically alter how they handled the quarterback situation regardless. Because unless Mitch comes back and balls out, his backup next year isn't going to be a player coach. His backup next year is going to be someone who
has, trying to take his job.
Yeah, is a young guy with upside who's supposed to push him, right? So that will be the change starting next year. But the rest of this year is about winning with this defense and hoping, praying, Buddha, superstition, like whatever you need to do to figure out whether or not Mitch is the guy or not. The text line has decided that he's not. I still think there's a chance that he is, but the math, the odds are against it. But they're absolutely going to give him the rest of the year to find out. We'll talk to Rich Campbell about this and more at 4 o'clock. It's Mac and Parkins with Shep in on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm in London still.
Does make us laugh. Mark Grody still in London. We'll talk to Rich Campbell coming up in 10 minutes. Shep's marathon right around the corner. Baby Shep right around the corner. You still don't know the gender.
A lot happening.
Have you felt worn thin? Have you felt distracted? Have you felt overwhelmed these last few months? You've had a lot of stuff going on.
Not so much. Like, I find that happening more like on the weekend, because it seemed like there was a run there where it didn't matter how good a show might have been that we did, or what happened at work, what positive happened. It seemed like every time on the train home or walk home, it's like, oh, this is broken now. Oh, there's water in the basement. Oh, this is an issue. And it just felt like that in the midst of trying to train for a marathon, trying to get a house ready for a firstborn child that will be here in the next 3-4 weeks, whatever it might be, due date start of November. Like,
you make it sound so sinister. A firstborn child.
It's just like you're trying to get prepared for that. And oh my God, it was just like one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And it slowed down a little bit this week, which I'm very grateful for.
Good.
God, man.
Yeah.
There were a few days in there that.
Whew. I mean, I imagine just the stresses of all of it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's life, though.
It is life.
What if it goes down while you're running on Sunday?
I love this scenario.
She has told me time and time again, this is her demand.
No, I know, yeah, but I don't know if we ever covered that. If you're in flight, so to speak, as we say, if you both are in flight,
the plane's in the air, as Mitch likes to say, and I'm behind the controls of the 747.
Yeah, all right. So the marathon's Sunday. You start running at 7:30.
7:30 is my start time.
At 8:45. You get a text from your wife, oh my God, my water broke, I'm going to the hospital, I'm in labor.
And she's staying downtown, right? You guys are downtown?
Yeah,
we're
downtown. Right. Yeah, just a little bit north of here.
What do you do?
I demand I stop running. I don't do the marathon. I go to be at the hospital. She and her crazy self thinks that you've put in all this time, you've put in all this effort, you've put in all this energy, you've raised all this money for charity by doing so, you're running this marathon. I wonder, like, if it were, honestly, if it were only coming from her, because obviously she would tell her mom or tell whoever, oh yeah, this is what's going on, get to the hospital, here we go. I wonder if she would even tell me until I was, if I completed the marathon, because she wants me to run it that badly, she claims.
That would be quite the rift. I thought about that. I was like, she'd think she's doing a good thing by not telling you, but I'd be so mad.
I'd be furious.
Yeah.
I'd be absolutely furious. Be like, it's the birth of my first child. Yes, I want to be there.
Which process has been longer, her carrying the baby or you training for the marathon?
She's been pregnant for like 19 months, I'm convinced. So,
okay.
I think that.
You should definitely keep saying that out loud.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, can't go anything wrong there.
No, all right, there you have it.
Yeah.
So I hope she's listening, and I hope she remembers that. She's been taking care of it. She's been working on that for a while, too, just like you've been training for your marathon.
Oh, I'm well aware, Tanny. I am well aware. But yes, it has been a crazy couple of, like, especially when it all starts to come to a T of, man, marathon's here, and the baby's going to be here right after.
It's crazy. And this idea that people are like, oh, you know, the labor will take long, so just show up late. Yeah, but what if it doesn't?
Right.
Like, what if it doesn't and you miss the
first child is always, it's a long labor, it's a long delivery. Yeah, but what if it's not? What if my slow ass is still on mile 16 and that baby decides to show up?
I think you got to leave the marathon.
I do too.
Is she planning on watching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she has her spot that she has picked out, like right around roughly mile one or so that she has all picked out that she loves to watch the marathon from, has a couple of spots in the city that she likes to get to and watch the marathon, whether, I mean, she was doing this long before I ever decided to run one.
So she's not there. She loves the marathon. And are you going to be like accessible via phone?
I mean, I'm using my phone as my source of music. So I'm not carrying in like anything else, like in no MP3 player.
All right, so yes.
No.
Is the answer.
Yes. I won't be on airplane mode.
Okay. So I can text you during the marathon.
You can.
About guests to book for Monday's
right.
show.
Hey, can you get this? Hey, I saw so-and-so just ran by in the marathon. Can you catch up and ask them to join the show?
Yeah.
You can do it.
Okay.
My dream scenario is Shep finishes the marathon, you know, so that way, you know, gets to live out that dream, but then immediately in labor, so he gets none of the credit afterwards. So it immediately pivots to, oh, congratulations on your baby. And Jeff's wearing his medal. I ran a marathon, for God's sake.
Hey, guys, remember? Hey, I did this whole thing. We talked about it on the radio for like 12 months, yeah, and it was really exciting.
Then you vanished to paternity leave.
Yes, and then you're gone, and we never talked to you about the marathon. That would be unfortunate for you.
Would it be the worst thing?
No, as long as the baby's safe.
I'm sure you take it, because you still get to finish the marathon. So
yeah.
Sure. I don't think that's going to happen. I have a different fear. I have a feeling this baby's going to be a little jerk and just decides to be like 2 weeks late or something. I just have a feeling about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm trying to speak it out of existence. Try to put the kiss of death on. Don't be somebody that, you know, it's okay to show up on time. It's okay to show up at your delivery date, your due date, or a few days beforehand. That's all right, baby. So I'm trying to say it enough that it doesn't happen. Like, speak it out of existence, because I don't want that to be the case of being like, all right, here's November 15th, and you're 2 weeks late, kid.
You're cool with your baby being on Lombardi time, then.
Yes.
I'd be fine with you.
Very much so, yeah.
Texter speaking for every single person in existence, by the way. Nobody cares about that guy's marathon or childbirth. I care, sir or ma'am. Shep, I'm positive, cares. So therefore, your nobody response is just inaccurate.
Yeah.
You jackass.
Bum.
Nobody cares about your son, your childbirth. Okay.
I would think that somebody cares out there. The child's future grandparents, the child's parents, you for asking, Tanny for participating in this conversation. I think someone cares.
Yeah. Maybe not everyone.
Oh, certainly not everyone.
Someone cares. And if your baby comes during the marathon, it's just a great story.
Oh, my goodness. You're right.
It's a great story.
It's great content. It's a great fallback story for when I do come back from paternity leave then.
So you know what we're rooting for.
I know that.
Rich Campbell, if we're any closer to what's going on with Roquan Smith, what's most likely to change during the bye? And he'll weigh in on the quarterback of the future conversation Shep and I were having coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.